Depression again, we get all of it what you put into. It's like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it.
Here's a shot from Tom Morrissey in the added time, and he's put it over the bar.
Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gave you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods.
Cork with Robbie O'Flynn, this should seal it, this could seal it, no! What a brilliant stop by Nicky Quaid!
Everything out there from the World Court today, no more about it, they made all the run, that was it. Put the ball over the bar in the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts.
Knocked away by Tom Morrissey. Tom going inside the large rectangle. Still Tom! Back in the net! Comes to Dowler. What's he going to do? Back in the net!
There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Welcome to this week's edition of the podcast. And Matt, I must point out that we are joined, of course, in today by John Keogh, the voice of the McGrath Cup final. Matt, a great weekend for Limerick GAA. Two really good wins, culminating, I suppose, what was two very good pre-seasons. A good night's GAA out in the Gaelic grounds. You must have been sickened that you missed it, but happy with the results.
Well, I had actually, because I'll tell you, I'm beginning to think that I must be a bit of a magpie for finals now, because the only other final that I missed, I cannot tell you how long that Limerick were involved in, was the Camogie final in 2017 when Limerick beat Cork to win it for the first time. And now to miss the McGrath Cup after 15 years, it's a bit of a downer, I have to admit.
Yeah, that might have been a downer, Matt, but the performance certainly wasn't.
No, the performance was absolutely excellent. There's no major silverware given away in January, but it's a huge, huge boost to Limerick. I saw the games against both Clare and Waterford, and certainly the signs were there of improvement. And what was most noticeable, I'd say, you remember about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, Billy Lee had this problem in getting people to commit. Now, there were a number of 6 or 7 players from last year, which for various reasons weren't available. But on both evenings, he had a very, very strong panel. And there seemed to be a togetherness about the panel. And very few can argue with their performance in the final. Like, you kick 20 points. Like, that's something that Kerry and Dublin rarely do. And some excellent scores watching the footage of it back. And but Billy will not get carried away with this. Nor should he, nor Limerick will not get carried away. The next task is, and the real task, and the real work begins now on Saturday week when they travel to Dungarvan to take on Waterford in the first round of the league. But, they're going with a spring in their step. They have silverware on the shelf, but it will all count for very, very little if they cannot get off to a winning start in Dungarvan on Saturday week.
Matt, the performance of Danny Neville, 7 points from the game, 5 from play and 2 marks. He was outstanding on Saturday.
Does it surprise you?
No, it
doesn't surprise me at all, because I would rate Danny Neville as an extremely talented footballer. He has speed, he has pace, he has everything. He got a cracking goal down in Waterford, and he was desperate, unlucky that he didn't get a second. A Waterford defender appeared from nowhere and somehow got in a block. His pace and his kicking is just first class. And in form, Danny Neville is a massive, massive boost to Billy Lee and to Limerick. And now we see the value of having him when we hadn't him for 2019. Danny Neville is as good a forward as there is in the country on his day. And when he's on that type, when he's in that type of form, he just simply is spectacular.
Matt, one of the biggest things for me watching the game and watching it live, first of all, then watching it back, was the pace that Limerick played at. It's something we've seen in the first two games against Clare's Waterford, as you mentioned. But that must be the way Limerick are going to have to play from now on.
It is the way they'll have to play from now on, and that's what it's all about, starting off and getting off and hitting the ground running with that type of pace, but maintaining it over 70 minutes, you know, which basically they did from what I saw of the footage back of the game. Like, they were nearly going as strong in the 70th minute as they were in the first. And huge credit to Billy and his management team. And I saw in his post-match interview, he was very, very, very quick to spread the phrase around, you know, for the members of his backroom team and the job in particular that Adrian Ryan has done in terms of fitness. Like, we saw it in Waterford on the previous Thursday night, because they were playing against the wind in the second half, down to 13 players. Waterford had the lead cut back to a single point. Limerick were on the rack, but they found something in that last 10 minutes and got over the line with a couple of goals to spare in the finish. And it was their fitness that told in that vital period. And Billy very judiciously on that occasion brought in fresh legs at very, very important times in the game.
Matt, I suppose just that the key score for me was Danny Neville's point late in this. It was the 19th score, actually, to put three between them. I think Limerick played it short.
That's right.
Corbett went on a break. We'll just have a listen back to the audio from John Keogh on that score here.
To get away from his man and see the free man in Tommy Childs in the middle of the park, and Childs is on the run. He's chased by a couple of Cork players, one of them being Kevin Crowley. Child's too strong for him, gets the ball away to Danny Neville. Brilliant turn from Danny Neville, who has given an absolute exhibition of football in the second half. It's a foul on Neville. He'll want to put it over with his left foot himself, and that's exactly what Danny Neville does. 3-point lead for Limerick in the McGrath Cup final, and Raphael Rocca, just sensational stuff from Danny Neville yet again.
Yeah, Matt, what an iconic score from the night, a fantastic point. And I suppose, Matt, like John said, encapsulated Limerick's desire and Limerick's, you know, willingness to have a cut and to play from inside their own 14, work the ball out, and that injection of pace. I think what was striking is, you know, when a Limerick player got out in front and got the ball, he was turned and gone before a lot of the Cork defenders had a time to realise which side they were gone. They were very quick off the mark.
Absolutely, and they're playing as a team, and they're playing for one another, and any hint, there's no vestige of the old failing of not wanting to, you know, or could take it or leave it type of stuff. And they all want to be there. They all want to be part of the squad. They all want to be on the first 15. And Billy has created this atmosphere around the thing. And like, it's just a small dividend, but it's a very, very important dividend for an awful lot of hard work, because, you know, Raph, and John, like myself, we've seen it at first hand, the amount of work that they put in behind the scenes in the preparation of the team. And we know the amount of work that Billy puts in the whole year round, running the rule over players and ensuring that anybody that is anywhere at all inclined or a possibility to wear a county jersey, that he's keeping very close tabs on him.
Matt, of course, it was double joy for Limerick at the weekend, and the hurlers did the business against Cork. Matt, I suppose, as a guy who kind of would have an eye on both counties, is it a case of Cork without so many regulars, or, you know, a Limerick side who would have put any team away to the sword that on the form that they were in on Saturday night?
I would think it's the latter. Very, very, very much the latter. I don't buy in entirely that Cork were without so many frontline players. If you contrast the two teams that started, I would say that Cork had more frontline players, more players that are likely to line up in the Munster Championship in the summer against Limerick than Limerick had in the starting 15, because John Kiley kept with experimentation. Like, he omitted. He omitted the Fitzgibbon Cup players, which I suppose was the right decision. I think it was the right decision to do. Players really, really value and cherish playing in the Fitzgibbon Cup. And now, 14 of the Cork squad are on the UCC panel. And there's a couple of them, and there's one or two of them as well, with Mary Eye. But a lot of those players, there's very few frontline players like that Cork were missing, which apart from possibly due to Fitzgibbon Cup commitments, maybe Shane Kingston, Mara Fitzgibbon, Mark Coleman, and Timmy Mahoney. But the Cork had the nucleus. Of they certainly had more than half, possibly 8 or 9 of the team that's likely to line up against Limerick in the summer. So I don't buy into that one at all. I think it is Limerick have hit the ground running. Their preparation is at a very, very good stage. They've obviously done an awful lot of work in the month of December, and like they've put on 3 performances, and I saw the first two. I missed the final, unfortunately, for the reasons which you outlined. But I thought in the first 20 minutes against Clare, you know, they were ruthless and awesome in equal measures, and it looks as if they were that way for long periods again last Saturday evening.
Matt, Barry Nash is a player who's got a lot of talk about Barry because of his performances in the Munster Hurling League thus far, and obviously culminating with a man-of-the-match performance on Saturday. He has really, really shone since he's moved back, since John Kiely made the decision last year. We saw him first against Kilkenny, but he's really stepped things up in the Munster Hurling League this year from wing back.
He really has. He has really settled. He has really settled in there. And he has certainly given John Kiely more options in that part of the field. And I suppose maybe a little headache thrown in the middle of it to wonder which will be his best 3. But you see, the Barry Nash, we always knew that Barry Nash, the qualities he possessed as a hurler. And if one has the qualities that he has and the suite of qualities he has, which are top class, players like that can become very adaptable. And now we have been totally accustomed to him being playing as a forward, but certainly he has such quality that he had very, very little difficulty in making the transition to the half-back line. It was a question for John Kiely and his management team to get as much game time into him as possible during them. In the half back line, and he used this competition wisely, and Barry Nash has been a revelation in the half back line, and he gives John Kiely that extra option. Now I saw him in the game in Ennis, and again, you'd find it very hard to pick a man in the match ahead of him. He was outstanding that day as well. So, look, he seems to have found his niche. And he has certainly put up his hand, and he's going to give John Kiely and the management team a lot of food for thought when it comes to picking the half-back line, picking the best half-back line for him when the league starts and later in the summer with the championship.
Another player who impressed against Cork, Matt, and a player who's been on the fringes of the Limerick first team maybe over a couple of years after making a very good impact in his first season, was David Dempsey, who popped up with 5 points against Cork. Ren Barry Nash very close to the Man of the Match award as well. We know the quality of David Dempsey. It just hasn't worked for him. Things haven't fallen for him with John Kiely's senior team yet, but he gave a fair old reminder to John Kiely and his management team of what he can offer this Limerick team.
I spoke earlier about Danny Neville. That doesn't surprise me at all, because I think David Dempsey is a hugely important part of that Limerick panel, and like his work rate and the energy he brings, like I he's one player that I absolutely admire, and he brings you know, he brings it to Napiershick, he brings it to Limerick, and like, you know, he got a goal. It was a goal after coming on against Tipperary, and he snapped against Cork in the final. And I would have to say that based on the two cameo performances he had coming on in the second half against both Clare and Tipperary, that he certainly deserved his start, and he has certainly put up his hand. He's one of those players that has put up his hand and is again like giving John Kiely more options, as of course not to forget David Reedy. David Reedy is an absolutely sparkling for him during the Munster League campaign. So like it all augurs very well going forward. And like then you look at the other side of it, and you see fellas like Dan O'Connell, Brian Ryan, Mark Quinlan, Brian O'Grady, Josh Considine, you know, all getting that little taste of Josh Boylan, all getting that little first taste of what it's like to play at senior inter-county level, and they will benefit hugely from it.
Matt, there was a bit of club action going on over the weekend too.
There was. Gary Spillane came back from the dead to force a draw in the Munster Junior B final down in Killeedy. Like the Killeedy competition this year is really reaching a climax. The previous Sunday, the Leinster final was a draw, the previous Saturday between St Vincent's and Loughrea, and then the Munster final was a draw. So it'll give you an idea of the level of competition that's down there. And the Leinster final has since been replayed, and Loughrea have won it by 2 points. So the replay is this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Certainly they cannot allow a situation to happen whereby they trail by 4 points into injury time. And Danny Hayes rescued the game for them and rescued a replay. And it's something to look forward to this weekend.
It certainly is, Matt. Matt, I suppose we can also reveal on Treaty Talk that having spoke with Kieran Carey during the week, that he has decided to go back on his decision, and he will be remaining on with Patrick Swell for next season. I suppose, Matt, a bit of a shock when news broke that he was leaving. I suppose, look, he obviously thinks he's got more road to run with this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ross and John, you had his interview after the county final on Pittside after beating the Piercy, and like he was immediately focused on the Munster Club Championship, and there would be nobody more disappointed than Kieran Carey at the way the Patrick Swell went out of this year's championship, and I would imagine that is unfinished business for him. But of course, first of all, he has to put back-to-back championships together, and of course that is a challenge as well. But of course, look, he's one of the game's greats. He's one of all county's most colourful characters. He's possibly the most knowledgeable hurling man practically in our county. And look, I'm absolutely delighted to see him back, because certainly the Limerick Championship would be much, much duller place without him.